Welcome to Home Ground. I'm Brian Kahn. Imagine, you work in outdoor education and spend a lot of time in the woods, trail work, teaching, and hunting. But there's a problem. It's just about impossible to find durable clothes that fit right. That's because you're a woman, and outdoor clothes are made, you guessed it, for men. For centuries, outdoor women have accepted that inconvenience and discomfort. But you decide not to. If no one else will make the right clothes for women in the outdoors, you will. You're Sarah Calhoun, founder and owner of Red Ants Pants. Sarah, many thanks for joining us on Home Ground.
Thank you for having me, Brian.
Where'd you grow up? What'd your folks do?
I grew up in Cornwall, Connecticut, a very small ag town, and my folks were farmers.
I didn't know there were farms in Connecticut.
There are a lot of them. You would not believe it. It's actually still quite a rural environment.
And what
there.
Kind of farming?
So my dad grew up on a dairy operation, and then my folks built their llama farm right next door.
Now, that I've got to ask you about. What do llamas do? I've wondered for a long time.
Well, my folks had a great breeding program. They were some of the oldest in New England, and luckily they got into the llama market in the mid-70s. They hit it when it was a hot market, and they were able to sell breeding stock to folks who use the llamas for wool, for pets, for pack animals, and also guard animals to protect a flock of sheep.
Huh. We're doing this in the back of the Red Ants Pants sales operation store.
International headquarters.
International headquarters, okay, in White Sulphur Springs, and you may hear salespeople talking with customers in the front. Okay, so you grew up in farm country. Did that stick with you in any way?
Absolutely. It can't not. I think growing up both with parents who are farmers and really small business owners when it comes down to it, and being in a classic New England Yankee town, the work ethic and the small town community support systems are, they run through your blood and you can't get away from them.
It's very interesting, I think, because in the West, I think we stereotype the East as all, and I was born back there, but I still stereotype it as suburbs.
Mm-hmm.
But that's nonsense.
Yep.
From
yep.
what you're saying.
Yep. Get off the highway, get off I-95, and you'll find a much different story all through the East Coast.
How about school?
College. I went to Gettysburg College in Pennsylvania.
Is that near the battlefield?
Right in the same town. Battlefields all throughout the campus. And I studied environmental studies.
Why?
Because I think at the time I was excited it was the only coursework you could take classes out in the woods.
Huh.
And there were no ag programs there.
And what period of time are we talking about?
So 1997 through 2000. I graduated a semester early.
And with that major, did you learn anything you didn't know? Any surprises?
I learned that there were a hell of a lot of problems, and I was somewhat overwhelmed with how to solve them all. And my choice leaving college was to do what I knew had direct impact, which was to help facilitate other students getting into the woods and experiencing the wilderness and the backcountry and just nature firsthand. I think there's a lot of value in that experience and what you can also teach with any backcountry time as a backdrop.
Where did you get that feeling?
Just growing up on a farm and in the woods, spending a lot of time just playing in the mm-hmm. woods as a kid, it was important to me. It was just home to me. And throughout college, I led trips for a program called GRAB, Gettysburg Recreational Adventure Board, where we took other college students out in the woods. And then from there, I went right into Outward Bound instructing for them and taking students both the more well-to-do, financially set students in the summertime, but also the inner city kids from Philly and Baltimore that had never even been in the woods.
How was the reaction there? You mentioned two economic classes, two different life experiences. How did the kids from both groups, each group, react?
The full spectrum, certainly. Overall, the potential for teaching and learning and leadership skills is just tremendous in those sorts of scenarios when you can spend time in the backcountry and really teach some valuable lessons.
What brought you to Montana?
So I spent about 5 years after college working on and off different seasonal jobs like Outward Bound and doing trail crews, and the whole time wearing men's work pants that didn't fit And I had worked around the West quite a bit, and I had been saving Montana for some reason. I had never visited, but it seemed like the kind of place I wanted to be. So after my last trail crew in the summer of 04 in the Cascades in Washington, I drove into Montana, checked out Missoula, didn't quite fit, found Bozeman, which was where I spent my first year. And then after a year there, I moved into a smaller, more authentic ranching town called White Sulphur Springs.
Yes, you'd have to say small and authentic.
Yes.
The right words.
Yes.
I'm glad you said the international headquarters, because I've heard so much about Red Ant's pants. This is a small building. Mm-hmm. Where do you manufacture the pants?
So we design them here, and then we contract with a cut and sew facility in Seattle that does all of the pants manufacturing as our shorts. In town here, we have a lady doing the leather belts with the ant stamps. And also the gal that just popped in that sews our aprons in town. And then our belt buckles and our hats are made in Colorado, and our t-shirts and hoodies and other apparel are all made in the U.S. and printed in Bozeman for screen printing.
Very few clothes are made in the United States anymore. Obviously, you've made a decision.
Yes.
Why?
It's important to me for many reasons, I think. And you can certainly get top quality garments made overseas, as many companies do. But to me, just on a personal level, I think I would rather have a working business relationship with someone that I can visit easily with location, and that I can provide jobs to people I know they're going to put money back in the regional community. I think that's an important factor. And I really find it much easier for me to really get to know someone and have a good relationship with someone in Seattle that I can hop on an hour flight and get to know and visit. And, you know, the whole idea of, oh, it's business, it's not personal. Like, I think that's BS, quite honestly. I think we need to make it personal, because then we treat each other better. I think the human component is one that keeps resurfacing through all these projects, whether it's the pants or the festival or the foundation. And I think there's so much value in connecting with people from different backgrounds and having different perspectives on the world. And that's one of the best parts about being in a town like White Sulphur. I've been challenged to reach out and connect with people that I otherwise wouldn't. And it's really forced me to find commonalities with people, whether even if our politics are different or our music or our fashion or religion or whatever it is, you know, there's always something you can find common ground on.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking with Sarah Calhoun, founder and owner of Red Ant's Pants, sponsor of a music festival every year and a foundation. Bozeman is not White Sulphur. That's a serious move. Did you know you were going to start a business when you came here?
Yes, when I first moved to Bozeman, I had the intention of starting Red Ant's Pants, the first ever company dedicated to workwear for women. And at that time, I literally did not know what a business plan was. So I bought a copy of Small Business for Dummies, surely what every entrepreneur does at the beginning. And I was reading it the very first weekend in town at the Leaf and Bean, downtown Bozeman.
I remember it.
And a man noticed the book. We got to talking, and it turned out for the past 20 years, he had done production and design for a little company called Patagonia. So one of those very fateful moments, and Richard Ciborel is his name. And he invited me to his shop. A week later, I went, and he gave me loads of contacts and advice. And he just said, Sarah, you're onto something big here. I think you need to move on it now. And he continues to be one of my top mentors, and he's on my board of advisors to this day.
Fantastic. Mm-hmm. So you picked White Sulphur because?
Because after about a year of getting great experience and mentorship in Bozeman, I started sewing backpacks to get some floor experience and just learning the business world. I realized I really needed to be in a small town similar to my roots in Connecticut. I wanted to be closer to agriculture and the rural landscape and all the things that come with that. And I had happened to stumble upon a book by Ivan Doig called This House of Sky, his memoir of growing up as a ranch kid in White Sulphur. And I gave it a read. I loved the book. I came to visit this quaint town for just one visit and decided to move here.
Doig would be pleased.
He was, and he told me so, which was wonderful to hear.
You mentioned moving into a town where you might have differences. It would be in any town, differences of opinion on various subjects. You're an outsider. How were you received?
With a lot of interest and curiosity at first, if you can imagine a 26-year-old gal buying a saddle shop downtown. Granted, the real estate is quite affordable here, but they saw that I was single and that I was starting a business, and it was quite a visible position to be in, I would say.
So what happened?
The county commissioner and his wife brought brownies to the door as soon as I started painting out front. I remember a guy who is, he's a fantastic friend to this day, but he came by and he's like, because there was a parts store next door, and so there was a lot of, you know, local traffic, and he came by and he's like, well, I'll give you a year and a half. That's how long the last guy lasted, you know? And I was like, thanks. But then, you know, he's still a great friend, and his wife worked for me a few years after that, which was great. But I think there was some curiosity, certainly, as far as, oh, you're from where, you know, back east. And and then I just got involved because I didn't know a soul in this county, and I just, to maintain my own emotional health, I needed to get to know people and get involved with things. So I volunteered as an EMT on the ambulance and coached volleyball and joined the Chamber of Commerce and the Arts Council and got to know a lot of ranchers and helped out at brandings and wherever I could, moving cows. And that was, I think, once you put your time and effort in, and I certainly wasn't trying to change anything. I was trying to just learn and observe and figure out what this kind of cowboy culture, small town Montana life was all about. And it appealed to me because it's who I am on many levels as well. So before too long, they started welcoming me in, and that really felt good.
When did you get here, and how long did that process take?
So I moved in September of 2005. And throughout that winter, I think I met the majority of the fire department maybe 2 months after that, when I had a chimney fire and I got to meet them in my pajamas. That was fantastic in the middle of the night. But what I would do literally on every Friday and Saturday night is I would make sure to go down to Dempsey's Tavern early enough, make sure I got a bar stool, and I became very good friends with the bartender. And then I had my little place at the social scene, and then I would just get to know people from there. I definitely drank a lot of whiskey that first winter and learned how to play poker. And then you go to the basketball games.
And how long would you say that process took before people began to say, you're one of us?
I would say even a couple of years. There were certainly people welcoming me in throughout the whole time. But till I really felt confident, I think it was a couple of years.
Now, tell us about the business. You're running a business of manufacturing clothes for women made in the USA.
Yes, absolutely. So Red Ants Pants, we're heading into our 10th year now, which is hard to believe. So we opened the doors that fall of 2006, and we had our work cut out for us because we only sell directly to our customers.
Really?
Instead of through wholesale retailers. Yep.
Still now?
Still now. Yep, and we do that for the reason of keeping it personal with our customers and having that relationship. Also, we would have to sell huge volume if we sell through wholesale.
Now, so, do I understand you have one place you sell, which is here?
You got it. But you would be amazed at how many people are coming to White Sulphur just to buy pants.
How cool.
Yes. And now to drink beer at the new Tubasset Brewery next door. And on the other side, we have pizza and a movie theater. We're set. And I have to mention new streets and sidewalks and curbs and new carriage lights coming. The new school is underway right now, and we're about to start a new library.
So how's it been for you as a person now? You had choices to make. You made that choice. You've started this business. It's been 10 years. You've gotten tremendous visibility. Everybody knows about your music festival that I run across in Montana. How does it feel?
It feels good. It feels, I want to say it's surreal, but honestly, I felt like this was coming. And I feel like there's more coming. I do think the Pants Company has just been a jumping off point of just getting my feet wet and understanding my skills and my weaknesses and my potential and where vision can take you and the accessibility of Montana and support by other businesses, other people, the communities, the government. It's felt dreamlike in some ways how smoothly it's gone. There's certainly been challenges and obstacles, but it's and business is not easy by any means, but it's been a really enjoyable trip thus far, and I'm excited to see what comes.
It's interesting to hear a business person, I assume you were mentioning the government in a positive context, they were helpful to you?
Absolutely.
How?
State-wise, every senator has come through and visited and been very, very positive in reaching out and just supporting mm-hmm. our small enterprise here in White Sulphur Springs. The governors that I have worked with, all of them thus far, the two that have been in office since I've been in business, have been fantastic, and both with their, I think it's the accessibility more than anything, even just having conversations through the, Governor Bullock's Main Street Montana project mm-hmm. and being on a Keene cabinet and having those dialogues of how do the public and private sectors connect better. Let's talk about the boots on the ground and what they can do to better support small business. I think it's been terrific, really.
I don't recall your exact words, but you said you were beginning to get to know your abilities and what you referred to something that might be future-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
What are you talking about?
I'm not sure yet, but I do feel like we're gaining momentum in ways that are going to be influential for the next project. And with the Pants being the kickoff, and as you know, we have this music festival that was started in 2011, and this was in part certainly for branding for the Pants Company, but okay. also because I wanted to start a nonprofit to be able to do more for the community levels and for our customer base and the culture around the brand.
Your idea, this music festival?
Yes. So I was talking with a woman very experienced in the industry, and she said, Montana needs another music festival. Why doesn't Red Ants Pants put one on? And then I talked to my board of advisors, and they all said, this is the riskiest move ever, but it's brilliant. And I talked to my family, and I talked to myself quite a bit. And it was one of those, some people said, start slow, start small. But I did recognize that at that time I had to go big with, as far as big names and a big splash, and to get people to come all the way to White Sulphur Springs. Because, as you know, we're over 100 miles from any city. However, we are in the middle of everywhere in Montana. We truly are. And it's a perfect spot for folks to come out of the cities and to really experience authentic rural Montana for a weekend of good music and sunsets. And
that is the 28th of July this year through the 31st?
Correct.
Now, what happened the first time, and who were the names?
Oh, the first time, we had no idea what to expect. Lyle Lovett was our headliner. Jerry Jeff Walker, Guy Clark, Rodney Crowell, they all played. And it was a two-day event with a kickoff street dance. I think we did that first year as well. And we had the campground ready to open at 3 o'clock, and the miles and miles of campers and sheep wagons and trailers backed up almost into town waiting to get in the gates. We were absolutely flabbergasted. And we built it, and they sure came. We had 6,000 people that first year.
My goodness.
Yep. And that tripled the county's population. We literally bought out the toilet paper supply across three counties, Brian. I'm not kidding.
Now, how did the town respond?
I don't think they knew what to expect either, honestly. I mean, we had worked very closely with the law enforcement and the city and county government,
sure.
Watering the roads. And the football team still to this day picks up all the trash every weekend. And the school groups came and filled in gopher holes and picked rocks. But I don't think the local establishments really staffed up and overstocked on supplies, but now they sure do, and they make a killing on it as well. But that first year, the sheriff, who I'd worked very closely with, he texted me at the end of that festival, and he said, Sarah, excellent job. I'll never arrest you for anything.
You're listening to Home Ground, and I'm Brian Kahn. We're talking with Sarah Calhoun, founder and owner of Red Ants Pants. So what's your mind running along now? You've got this fantastically successful festival, which you use the profits for your nonprofit, your foundation?
Exactly, yes. So the festival is our sole fundraiser for our foundation. And the mission of our Red Ants Pants Foundation is we're in support of women's leadership, working family farms and ranches, and rural communities. So all the things that are really meaningful to myself, as well as the culture of our whole brand and our broader Pants and Montana community.
I have to say, I've been doing this for 20 years, and I have never run across anything quite like this. The mission statement you just articulated, I'd like to read the values that are printed in the brochure. To recognize and cultivate a strong work ethic. To encourage and build self-reliance, especially for women. To educate the public on the importance of maintaining traditional work skills. To provide opportunities for people with different perspectives to connect, build bridges, and discover common ground. Those words and the words you articulated when you read the mission say a lot. Why are those things important to you? What stands out? What's at the center?
I think it really comes down to the human connection on many levels. That we're not in this alone, that we absolutely need each other. And those are the types of values that I see in a day-to-day lifestyle in rural Montana and really small towns across America, is that we can't get by without needing our neighbor, because one day they're going to need us and we need to be there for one another. And I think taking that idea, which just happens to be the lifestyle in these small towns, you take that into a broader sense of our human community and our business communities and our global communities, ideally, but that we need to take care of one another, and that together we can get so much more done when we're supporting one another. And just the line that keeps going through my head lately is just that there is strength in our togetherness. And I just think we as a people need that. And if it's celebrated in a cow pasture in rural Montana, just listening to great music, fantastic. But and it's not just about the music out there. It's about the feel and the camaraderie and the goodwill experience on the ground. There's good stuff happening there. And it's fun to really explore that and discuss, you know, I'm figuring it out as we go too, about what is possible.
What strikes me is every one of these points, role of women, family, working family, farms and ranches, enriching and promoting rural communities, each one of those is at some risk. In other words, rural communities have declined, that we've become a much more urbanized culture with different urban values than you experience in a small town. Obviously, there's a long history of discrimination and denial of leadership to women and working farms and ranches. There's the whole thing with the corporatization of agriculture. Mm-hmm. And the emphasis on diverse people finding common ground. We're living through a period where that seems hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
Why does all that matter to you?
I think it matters to all of us, or it should matter to all of us. I mean, we need it, clearly. I mean, look at the world right now. We need to use our hearts a little more than certainly our weapons, but we don't need to get into all that. But I think we need to feel more. We need to be honest and real and vulnerable, and we need to be better people.
You think it's possible?
Absolutely.
And what makes you say that?
Because what are we if we don't have hope, Brian?
Those are genuinely noble sentiments. How do you try to make them real through your foundation?
So the festival in itself is a pretty fantastic setting for seeing what we're all capable of collectively. But through the proceeds from our event, we have a grant program every spring, the Red Ants Grants, and we give money away to individuals and organizations and family farms like all across the state who have projects that parallel our mission. And this year we just gave away $20,000, and our five-year total is $65,000, which is pretty fun to have a party in a cow pasture to give money away. So for example, different cattle operations need new corrals. We'll pay for those. Or we've certainly funded some leadership programs. Leadership Montana is a great one to help give scholarships to rural women to participate. And we just gave our largest grant away to the only female-owned outfitting company in the Bob Marshall Wilderness called Dropstone Outfitting. And we just bought a new mule. And they're going to let us name it. It's very exciting.
I've done a fair amount of facilitation between loggers, ranchers, and environmentalists and public resource agency people. Those could be defined as people with differing views. That's one of your values, is to bring people together. How does your festival, for example, relate to that, except everybody likes music?
Mm-hmm. Well, one of my favorite stories from the festival was, and someone took a picture of this, and he found me at the Stockman Bar 3 months later. It was a professor from MSU who took the picture, and he said, "Sarah, you need to see this picture." And it was of two men standing with their backs to the camera. They didn't appear to know each other. They were just each enjoying a beer in the show. And on the back of one guy's shirt, it read, "Save the Planet." And the other guy, who must have worked for an asphalt company, his shirt read, "Pave the Planet." And I mean, that's what it's all about. And you can't make that shit up. That's just fantastic.
going back to your values statement, you mentioned the importance of maintaining traditional work skills and helping people know that.
Mm-hmm. So another program we do through our foundation is what we call our Timber Skills Workshop. And this is a 4-day training for women in September. We have it here in White Sulphur Springs. And you can select either Chainsaw 101 or Carpentry 101. So we have fantastic instructors that are super experienced in their industries, and they come and teach folks that want to learn how to fell trees or cut firewood or frame their woodshed or whatever it is, and that's coming up.
Earlier, you said something that implied there might be something else in the future. What do you have in mind?
Well, I think imminently I'd love to really develop the programming through our foundation and see what else we can do and how much further we can go with that. As far as the women's leadership component, I have this vision in my mind, and I'm not sure how to execute it on the ground, but you know, the classic good old boys clubs, and there's actually men's clubs happening in Bozeman right now where you have to pay to be part of them, which is nuts, but a kind of a secret underground society of kick-ass women leaders from all over the place. And I don't know where this is going to be. Probably it'll have to be White Sulphur somewhere. But I just picture a big wooden door with intricate carvings, and these women know they have to press the eye of the owl to get in. And once they're in, it's all velvet and bourbon, and we might even smoke some cigars and just talk about how to solve all the problems in the world and support one another in doing so. So that's kind of my secret pipe dream, which I guess isn't a secret anymore. But in addition to that, I am working on a book right now, with hopes of being able to capture these stories that are just so, so worthwhile, I think, of the characters and the experience and the community support and the things that I've learned over these 10 years of being in business in rural Montana, both with the Pants Company and the festival and the foundation, and how it's all so beautifully woven together because it's driven by values. And the culture of that is a beautiful thing, and one in which I think we need to really keep supporting and moving forward on. We finally wrote our mission statement for the Pants Company this past year, in that we provide workwear for women, for the makers and the growers, the builders and the doers. We support them with humor and heart, quality and class, integrity and courage, always. So with that in mind, we hope to keep moving forward to take this to the next level, just to bring people together and try to do a little more good in the world.
Sarah Calhoun, I very much regret to say we are out of time. I want to thank you especially, especially much for being with us on Home Ground. To our listeners, many thanks for being with us. We hope you'll join us next week. Home Ground is an independent production of Artemis Common Ground and does not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station. Post-production by Valtron Recording Studios. We welcome your ideas for new programs at www.homegroundradio.org. Home Ground is made possible by grants from the Liz Claiborne Art Ortenberg Foundation, Cinnabar Foundation, Humanities Montana, and the Greater Montana Foundation, encouraging communication about issues, trends, and values of importance to Montanans.